Hey, if I haven't told you already, Sergeant War Dog TV has an app. It's now out on both the Apple App Store as well as the Google Play Store. Download it today. Find directions to Camp Doghouse. Hear all of our podcasts. The entire Sergeant's playlist. View pictures and get directions straight to Camp Doghouse, all from the app. Download today, Sergeant War Dog, baby, on the War Dog Trail. Salute. Be sure to follow Sergeant War Dog TV on social media. You can find Sergeant War Dog TV on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Vimeo, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Catch us online. Subscribe, like, and follow us. Salute.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DB Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DB Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Let's go to war, baby!
All I know is war, all I know is shoot. All I want is more. I'm a soldier, I'm a warrior. Got a emblem on my cover. And ask me what I did for ya. I put the trash deep down under. Yeah, I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you, yeah.
This is Sergeant War Dog, and welcome to episode 26 of the War Dog Trail. In this episode, we're going to get gritty. We're going to talk about the no bullshit, balls to the wall life of combat. And what comes out of you, what reactions come out of you, what you do, what you've done. We're going to talk about the whole gamut. Now, we know once you're on the battlefield, you don't get to call time out once you see your opponent. You don't get to have a weight class. You don't get to have any kind of size comparisons or similar groupings with size. In the war, when you see someone that's your enemy, regardless of how big or small or what weapon they're carrying or not, you have to man up and go face those motherfuckers face to face. And that is what we do better than most in the entire Department of Defense. Or I won't say the Department of Defense. That's what we do best. Better than most militaries in the world. Regardless of numbers, regardless of being outsized, outgunned, this is how we get down. We find out about what's going on in the world, who may need our help, and then we immediately deploy. Whether it's hostage rescues, whether it's trying to prevent a coup from overthrowing a government, or whether it's simply humanitarian missions. Either way, when it's time to go into harm's way, we all go. Every branch. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, Reserve, active duty. All one team, one country. And I am very, very proud to say that that's the way we get down. That's the way we've gotten down for years. Now, tell you about a little personal personal quirk of mine. All right. Whenever I go to clear a building, clear a room, I have this weird habit of, if someone's already in the room, especially with an AK, I will admit to you, I go through this phase of, walking in, noticing they're there, slight moment of shock, and then that shock turns to complete hatred and I try to take them out. And that's what's worked for three tours. That worked for three separate tours in Iraq. Things that happen, things that startle you, and then immediately, for some reason, the way I'm built, going from startled to attack mode is my default. That's my default. I don't know if you want to call it defense mechanism, survival mechanism, but whatever you want to call it, it's worked for me, man. It's kept my ugly ass alive. It's kept my ass out of some serious situations where I could have been killed or wounded. I love the fact that when you do go to war, you have the full combined support of the entire U.S. military machine. I can't explain what it's like to be a part of an assault force that includes tanks, AAVs, the amphibious assault vehicles that Marines ride in, or Bradleys for the soldiers in the Army, followed by tanks, like I said, either watching your front, your flanks, or your rear, and then you're being escorted by Cobra helicopters with Hellfire missiles. And then on top of that, you got the planes that are on station circling, you know, especially that beautiful Spectre gunship, man. And for those who aren't very aware of the accuracy of the Spectre gunship, man, you can place a dollar on the ground and believe you me, the Spectre will fly past once, get a picture, get an image of that target, then make a second pass and blow everything to shit. Now, I've seen it done once in front of me when the Spectre blew up a car around 2 a.m. that was blocking our convoy as we were about to make a hit on Al-Karma, which is not far from Fallujah. And then later during that day, I truly got to see the power of the Spectre gunship when we began taking fire from the mosque in Al-Karma. And just as I said before, the Spectre flew by once, got a picture of the target, came right back, and disintegrated that entire building into nothing but ash and rubble. And I got to tell you, because of the fact that there were men inside there that were waiting to kill us, I was fucking pleased to see that Spectre gunship do what it did. I wouldn't be a grunt if I didn't tell you it was one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen as a warfighter, man. One of the most absolute beautiful sights you could ever see as a Marine. Knowing that your enemy wanted to take you out, but you took them out first. Or your supporting arms for your mission, such as air, tanks, etc., artillery. It's a beautiful thing knowing you were almost wiped out, but your support came through and softened the target or completely took the damn target out. and removed all your threats that were inside. Very, very, very beautiful feeling. Now, I've never mentioned to you that during my first tour, I really, really had a respect for JAG, man, for the Judge Advocate General, because I went through all of the, all the readings and all the pre-talks that we did before crossing the border, and the fact that they were letting us know that we would be investigated for certain, shots, certain kills, that shit changed the whole idea of the war for me. Because I had never expected that we'd go through the war and you'd have JAG officials possibly chasing behind you to see if you had good, clean quality or legal kills or not, or those that followed the Geneva Conventions, right? So, there was one particular city I remember hauling ass down the streets of. Can't remember the name of the city, but I know I was 19 and I was still wearing that hot ass mop suit. Right? And as I got to a yard, the yard had a cement brick back wall. And as I looked over that wall, for the first time, I saw an Iraqi Mujahideen wearing all black, but with no weapon. So I wasn't authorized to take him out without the weapon. So I did the best thing I thought I could do, which was to yell at him in Arabic, Keef, stop. Do not move. All of that. Sure enough, what did he do? He hauled ass down that alley. And I don't know if I never saw him again. I'm pretty sure some of the other Marines I was with, as we scattered through the city, they might have got eyes on him if he didn't duck into a house somewhere. But, it was truly a crazy scene. Truly a crazy, crazy, crazy scene. Now, there are times I look back and I wonder, why didn't I engage him? I mean, he was wearing the all black. He was clearly trying to rep and identify the Mujahideen. But, like I said, I had so much respect and even a little bit of legal fear of JAG, man, of the JAG personnel. JAG meaning the Judge Advocate General, those that can find your fighting or killing to be unlawful and can lock your ass up and send you straight to Leavenworth. Well, that's what I thought was going to happen to me if I fired on this guy wearing all black. All right. This time, we'll bring you into the Sergeant's Playlist real quick.
I am darkness, I am light. Feeble fire, the bitter night. Tomorrow's gone before it starts. Yesterday still tears me apart. I'm only human, only flesh. My callous hands won't say the rest. My heart is strong, but my soul is weak. Trapped in my sandbox memories. And you don't know the pain. And you can't fix my fears. And you can't bring me free.
That was Militant Me with his song, My Sandbox. Now, Militant Me is actually an active duty Marine officer who was a former infantryman. You can find Militant Me on Instagram at Militant Me. You can also find him on Facebook. On his Facebook page at Militant Me. All right. Proceeding with the episode, I have to admit, whenever I'm in a position to where I'm able to see the enemy before he sees me, or the same feeling I get when I'm hunting, whitetail or wild hogs, I get excited as fuck. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. There's something about that feeling of knowing that you see the guy that wants to kill you before he sees you, or the group of guys that want to kill you before they see you, and you're able to get the drop on them and take all of them out. Or if you're in the if you're in a hunting setting, you're able to get that quality kill shot on your harvest so that you can fill that freezer and bring the meat back home, right? All right. Now, I personally, according to my MOS as an 0311 Marine, we're responsible for several primary weapons, or I'll just say several weapons. We're responsible for employing several weapons, just as the other branches are with those that are on the ground fighting. All right. Now, for us, we are required to know how to handle the M4 rifle, the M203 grenade launcher when it's attached to a rifle, namely an M4 or lastly, the Corps has changed now to where they use the M27 as their automatic rifle for their automatic rifle men. So there are still uses for the M249 SAW, but a few years back, the Marine Corps did make a major infantry change and employing the M27. Now, I have not had the luxury of firing an M27. I don't know if I ever will. But you better believe me, with these media passes I now have, whenever I can get access to military bases and to those infantry or special ops units, I am going to fire as many weapons as I can, meet as many military service members as I can, and tell their stories to you here exclusively on either Sergeant War Dog TV, the web series, or on this podcast, The War Dog Trail. I did make a trip to my military base that I grew up in, or grew up on, out in the Mojave Desert of Southern California about 2 years ago. And let me tell you, it was like a sweet homecoming, man. I mean, we're all familiar with how often and how much bases change, and you know, they move things around, and they might place base housing over here now, they might move the exchange over there, they might expand the exchange. All of these things happened when I visited Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, the Marine Air Ground Task Force Center, or the Marine Combat Center, excuse me. Once I returned to that desert, I can't explain to you everything that came over me. Even driving towards the gate and towards the entrance and the Marine MPs that allow you on base. Each time I returned home, we came down the same exact street, obviously. Only each of those three times after returning from Iraq, streets were filled, man. They were filled with, family, friends, parents, supporters, Marine veterans, Vietnam veterans. It was amazing, man. The first time I came back, even the Marine Corps band was there waiting for us. Once the word got out that we were the ones that pulled down Saddam's statue, those of us from the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, that we were part of that first wave into Baghdad that pulled down a statue. Now, besides the excitement that I get when I'm able to see the enemy first, I have equal disdain and pure hatred for those moments when there's a sniper firing at either me or my fellow teammates, yet he or she is barricaded so well that I cannot find a muzzle flash. And you never want to be the guy that's just standing around and then catches a round to the face, right? So your head's constantly on a swivel. You're taking cover as best as you can, because you have no idea where that sniper is yet. And the only way you can figure it out is either you are able to eventually get eyes on a muzzle flash, or you go balls to the wall and you search every fucking building in your area of operation or within your phase lines till you find the motherfucker and put him down so that he no longer bothers you and your fellow teammates and that you can continue the mission whooping ass. Other aspects of combat involve the extreme strength and rage that can hit you while you're in the heat of the moment. And I mean, at one time, I was not the greatest door kicker in the world. Especially while I was carrying the M249 saw. With that beast of a weapon and me carrying 1,000 rounds on me, it was hard as hell at times. Maybe because I used to use the front kicking method as opposed to turning around and mule kicking the motherfucking doors. I used to just run straight up to the door and try to boot the motherfucker in, you know, while facing the door. Obviously, after a few unsuccessful attempts at that, including me bouncing back, being rolled off doors, I even seen times where I had Marine buddies try to barge in, you know, barge into rooms or barge into those gates that are in front of most Iraqi houses. And when they did, I can't explain to you what it was like to see them bouncing off those doors and walls and falling like a motherfucker in the middle of combat, in the middle of the action, man. And namely right now, I'm thinking of a time during Operation Vigilant Resolve in Fallujah, just after the Blackwater guys were murdered.
Start a career right from home. Conduent is hiring work-at-home technical customer service agents. Full benefit training provided.
With a few other riflemen, and in a building adjacent to us, we had Marine snipers set up. And lo and behold, another squad from my platoon came up from behind us and tried to barge their way into this Iraqi house. Compound, I'll say, which was protected by a fence. My boys hauled ass full speed, no holding back, and rushed this fence like never before. And I mean a few of them, several of them. And they all ran up to this fence and bounced back like fucking bowling balls, man, like bowling pins. And it was crazy. I mean, for that to happen in the heat of the moment, for me to find something to laugh and smile about while you're in Fallujah of all places, I can't even put words to it. The shit was just beyond crazy. Now, no one really talks about how you can lose your hearing from shooting off the door locks and the hinges when you're making dynamic entries. But let me tell you, I have had my ears and my bell rung quite a few times by having guys come up behind me without letting me know that they had a shotgun or a rifle. Especially those Benelli 12-gauge riot guns, which I love so much with the buttstocks. They'd come right up behind you without saying a word and just start blowing the hinges off, man. And the next thing I knew, my ears were completely deaf, man. I mean, I'd heard the sound and the ringing go so loud that I just couldn't hear anything anymore. And I was looking around at individuals. I could see lips moving. I could see people saying something, but couldn't hear shit, man. I tried to let them know as best as possible that, yeah, for the moment, man, I'm temporarily deaf as fuck. So if you can help me out, guide me, lead me somewhere to my sound returns, to my hearing returns, please do so. Do so. Now, continuing with the rest of the episode. There is a certain element of cutthroat, dirty dog, fucking beast that comes out of me when we're in the heat of combat. In the heat of a firefight, when I know motherfuckers are firing at me, dropping mortars, possibly firing artillery from somewhere. IEDs are blowing, car bombs and VBIEDs are blowing, well, which is the same thing. Car bomb is a VBID. Once I know those dogs are out there truly ready to hit me and mine, I become a whole nother motherfucker. And once I know that they are getting cutthroat and dirty and doing things like, hiding in areas that, according to the Geneva Convention, we aren't supposed to attack. Yet those are the places where I end up finding most of the weapons. Places like schools, hospitals, mosques. Places that we're supposed to try to back off and save for the infrastructure of the city or the country. I can't tell you the number of countless times that I've run into schools full of weapons, rockets, ammo, guns, RPKs, AKs, hospitals, same shit. You know what even blew me away about being in the classrooms in Iraq? Within every classroom I went into, the same way we would hang an American flag in our classrooms, every classroom had a picture of ugly-ass Saddam Hussein on the cover. Or of Saddam Hussein hanging up in a particular position in the classroom. And that alone, man, if I could compare it to the way we would stand up and show our allegiance to our flag by saying the pledge in school, I couldn't imagine what kids were doing every day while standing in, or, you know, whatever their ritual was to say or show any type of respect or homage to Saddam and his picture. And I don't want to know, but I did find it extremely odd as hell to see each and every classroom. And I'm not just talking grade school, middle schools, high schools, even when we ran through Baghdad University, man. And that was a hell of a place to clear. Because you think about a college campus, think about how big a college campus is. All the rooms, doorways, bathrooms, closets, theaters, theater halls, showers. Shit, trying to clear a college is a motherfucker, let me tell you. Especially when you don't know what threats lie behind each and every doorway, bathroom, classroom, etc. Now, I personally enjoy firing the AT-4, which is a shoulder-fired rocket that fires an 84-millimeter rocket out of it. Now, we spent a lot of time in the School of Infantry learning to fire weapons like the AT-4, M4s, M203s, just like every other military branch does. You spend plenty of time perfecting your proficiency at both hand-to-hand and combat involving weapons. AT4 is one of my favorites. I once saw an entire bus full of enemy soldiers get hit by a Marine that fired an AT4 at them and watched that entire bus blow to shit, as well as every enemy motherfucker that was inside that was planning on killing me and mine. And again, like I said, like I told you earlier, for some odd reason, maybe it's the dog in me, maybe it's the Marine in me, but when I am able to see the enemy before he can see me, I get so hyped and excited on the inside that I gotta calm myself down and control my breathing for a second before I begin letting off rounds at those motherfuckers. It's the same feeling you get when you see a deer, when you see a nice white tail, and you get eyes on, and you know you're in the perfect spot, perfect tree stand, perfect ground blind, perfect box blind, but he doesn't see you. And in the hunting game, unless he's winded you, he doesn't smell you either. And you know it's on. You know you have your gun, bow, crossbow, spear, whatever you happen to be using at the time, on point, on deck, ready, and just waiting for your harvest target to present itself for the perfect kill shot. For those of you that self-record while you hunt, I know you all get ecstatic as well, because you're able to capture the animals on your camera, which helps to lead to tell the story of your entire hunt and expedition. That's just something for me from the inside that I often wonder if other veterans happen to feel when they were about to engage. Now, I've gone over this once before, but let me tell you once again. The times I was able to engage the enemy and the times I knew I did hit the motherfucker, I initially felt good as hell. I mean, that's the job, right? You're a rifleman. Your job is to hit center mass and to take out your target before he can take you out. So, on the occasions when that happened, yeah, it felt good as shit. Followed by the accolades that came from your teammates and superiors for performing a great shot or for eliminating a threat that could have been detrimental to the entire team. The first tour in Iraq, after crossing the border, I was ready in every sense of the word. But I was never as dark, dirty, and cold-hearted as I was during the second tour after I saw what happened to the Blackwater contractors. After I saw their bodies burned, dragged up and down the streets of Fallujah, hung on the bridge. I guess they didn't know that Marines like to get down dirty too. Or the entire U.S. military will get on their level and fuck them up if that's the way they want to roll. Fallujah brought out a lot of hatred in me. Not just because of the city, just because of what happened to the Blackwater contractors, but also because I lost a very good and dear friend, Corporal Daniel Amaya, in that city during Operation Vigilant Resolve. Now, my battalion also happened to lose another Marine whose body had to remain on a rooftop for several hours until we were able to, until his company and his fellow Marines were able to remove his body because they were in such heavy firefights. And that, too, is the nature of the beast. These are the sorts of things that happen when the enemy says fuck the Geneva Convention rules and decides to do their own thing. And for whatever reason, they think that because we're usually organized and in platoons or squads, that we won't break down into smaller teams and come after their asses. And I have been on small 4-man team ops, scrounging through the city of Fallujah, looking for any and everyone that might have been out after curfew or looking to take us out. Those are some of the most beautiful missions I can remember. Knowing that there are only 4 of you in an entire city of 70,000+, and you're operating pitch dark, it's 0 dark 30, you're out 3-4 hours at a time, notifying your command of your GPS locations while still on the hunt. And on the particular op that I'm thinking of, I happen to be the radio operator that night, which is rarely ever happens for me, since at the time I was a SAW gunner. But once I picked up corporal and became an NCO, sadly I had to give up my M249 to a junior Marine and begin to carry the M203 grenade launcher. And let me tell you, it is a hard thing for someone that's used to firing an automatic weapon to have to go back to anything semi-auto. You feel like you're leaving a massive machine that can spit, you know, hundreds of rounds a minute if you're able to, and if you're able to also perform a barrel change, since the barrel usually starts to heat up and smoke once you put too many rounds through it in such a short span of time. Few things might bother you as much as being any type of machine gunner or light machine gunner who's then told to rely on not that automatic weapon that you love so much and you become accustomed to, that you first hated, possibly because of the weight and the everything that it required to hike and to hump with it, to now having to resort to a pistol, a rifle, or a 203 grenade launcher. Few things will break the heart of a true shooter than something like that happening. But when you do pick up rank, part of that system is that leaders are not usually expected to fire or to need to fire their weapons as much because they are so busy coordinating and guiding the fight. And that's something I had a serious problem with. I wanted to leave the leadership roles to others. Truthfully, I didn't even want to pick up Corporal if it meant I had to give up my M249 saw. I know that might sound stupid to some, crazy to others, you know, not wanting the promotion and the extra pay and the increase in pay grade. But when it came down to having my bottom bitch, my M249, it broke my heart to give her up, man. It did. Broke my heart. Now, the 203 was cool within itself. And that's what I had to get back accustomed to using. No, there was no automatic fire coming from it. Even, you know, yeah, you can put the weapon on burst and get 3 rounds out of it at a time. But that does not compare to the constant pull of a trigger of an automatic weapon that'll spit indiscriminately till you let go. All right. This has been episode 26 of the War Dog Trail. I know it might have seemed all over the place. Might not have guided you or led you to any type of further understanding, man. But it's something I had to get off my chest. Something I needed to talk about in terms of the actual combat and war fighting. And the fact that we never, ever get a chance to call time out once you see your enemy. All right. This isn't boxing. This isn't karate. There are no fucking weight classes in a war. Nobody gives a damn if your enemy's larger than you, stronger than you, carrying a bigger weapon than you. If you want to live, you got to face those motherfuckers head on and utilize your training. And that's what I tried to do as best as I could. And thousands of other veterans have successfully done during these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and beyond, even before this. And that's a brotherhood and an infantry alumni that I am very proud to say that I'm a part of. All right, I'll give you one last song here from the Sergeant's playlist, and then we'll call it a day.
Said, boy, you done. I do this shit for fun. Jungle bumper dump dump. Shawty with a pump pump. You know you don't want no partner's key for a long. So to you niggas like some gum gum. Boy, you is a chum chum. Shawty suck my cum cum. My cheerleader, no pump pump. She slurping me like one time. Lick my accent like it's fondant. She foreign, she from London. She probably got a husband. Bet I'm ballin' on the budget. Real nigga, I'm like, fuck it.
Hey. Real nigga, I'm like, fuck it. If he acting all suspicious, I'ma clutch him. I done been through some shit that niggas probably never understand. All that bullshit, it had turned me to a man. But now I'm counting rubber bands, no more popping sands. But I will pop a perk because it take a word that hurt. Mind of a hustle, it'll make it go berserk. Running wine, acting wild like you ain't grow up in that church. Versatile at my word, so even your turf is my turf. Say you done with a nigga, hop up on my page and lurk. Everybody say I'm a jerk. I don't care, nigga, fuck a friend, cause ain't nobody catching bodies for it. Nigga in the end. Rapping is a hobby, but I gotta feed my kids. So it is what it is. Nigga gotta handle biz. Mind of a murderer, I'm ready to kill. This ain't fucking practice, no, we ain't running drills. Give a fuck about how you feel. Bad boy like a wheel. Gotta keep that thing concealed. Only time we reveal. No more missing meals, and I ain't even got a deal. I'ma keep this shit trill, popping pills like I'm Bill. But this ain't no Cosby, that nigga try to rob me. Had your family sobbing, cause you know we steady mobbing. What's a gold to a diamond, what's a rookie to a vet? Fuck a paper plate, nigga, where my paper check? Nigga bleed red, but I'ma make him bleed blue. Put that Ruger to his stomach, make his guts hula hoop. I'm in the valley with the troops, big stars to the soldiers. Put the city on the map and put the gang on my shoulder. If a nigga in the way, fuck it, I'ma run him over. Carry the city like it's a fist with a boulder. I'm only getting stronger and I'm only getting older. Nigga, my time is now, nigga, fuck what they told you. They said, boy, you done, I do this shit for fun. Drums go bumper, dump, dump, shawty with a pump. You know you don't want no partners, kill you for a loss. I'll chew you niggas like some gum gum. Boy, you is a chum chum. Charge yourself my cum cum. My cheerleader, no pom pom. She slurping me like one tongue. Lick my accent like it's fondant. She foreign, she from London. She probably got a husband. Bet I'm ballin' on the budget. Real nigga, I'm like, fuck it.
All right, that was Dun Dun by Marvo Ben Lit. You can find Marvo on Instagram at Marvo Ben Lit. That is at MarvoBenLit. Also, you can find Marvo on Twitter at Marvo2Lit. That is at MarvoToolit. All right, this has been the War Dog Trail, episode 26. Hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to download our app if you'd like to hear all of our podcasts, as well as the Sergeant's Ops Report. You can hear the entire Sergeant's playlist on the app as well. Or you can visit SergeantWarDogTV.com and access our podcasts from there. Lastly, on most major podcast platforms, by searching for the War Dog Trail, you can access our podcasts from most podcast platforms. All right, it's your War Dog. Now, war veterans, I'm asking you, keep your moods in check. Keep your training in check. Keep your anger in check. Stay alive and free. Salute from Sergeant War Dog.
All I know is war. All I know is shoot. All I want is more, but I got some things to do. I'm a dog of war, hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war, I did it all for you.
DDTV Radio.